Okay, so before we go on to Simon Kufpeites and the main Simon of Vestos, just a few outstanding small topics. I'd sent earlier Mar Makomos for a couple mini topics that I had that we hadn't discussed previously. So first, just a Mar Makom that people should be aware of. Which isn't so much Nogea Nida, it's really more of an Arachaim issue, but it happens to be here. So since we kind of passed by it the last time, just bring it to your attention if you hadn't noticed. In Siman Kuf Behei, the Ramah has a little bit of a discussion of the tshuva process for someone who was Boel Nida. So the Ramban's comment there, the end of Siman Kuf Pei Hei, writes, "In pirish mimena bekoshi bekishoi ubishogeg shelo yada she'asur lifrash mimena." So if b'shas tashmi she realizes that she's a nida, so the mechaber had prescribed the proper way of exiting safely, and the Ramban says if you didn't do it that way, then you require some form of tshuva. Yis'an arbam yom. So you have to fast for 40 days, but it doesn't have to be 40 consecutive days. It could be Bahab or Sheni V'chamishi for 20 weeks. Ubalel Hatanis Aser B'yayin Ubasar. And the night of the Tanis is Aser B'yayin Ubasar. Says the Torah Sashlamim over here, Sivkatan Yud, what Lel Hatanis are we talking about? L'chora nira, says the Torah Shlamim, Tahainu alayla shelifnei yom hatanis, the night before. Tehu nikra leil hatanis, ki hayom holich acharei halayla. So pasha pshat, leil hatanis should mean the night before, because that's how the Jewish calendar always works. Achein ra'isi b'marashal in chulin, perikos of espinosim in yudalif, ma shenogu ksas nashim shein ochlin basar b'sheini b'chamishi, Kishinoflin Bo, Az Enam Ochlin Afalilish Acharyom, Shahu Lel Gimel. So the Marshal references a practice of some women that would refrain from eating meat on Sheni V'chamishi, and then they wouldn't eat meat the night afterwards. And the Marshal says that's not the right way of Cheshvening. Shosinegav Chachmi Talmud, Dalila Holach Acharyom. Why? Where do you ever find that the night follows the day? So the Torah Shalom comments, that's not such a kasha, because by kachim, laila holach acharyom. So if something, if the tanis, standing for tanis the makom korban, so then it actually might make sense that for a tanis, laila holach acharyom. And then he quotes the Marashal, Lisian Dehecha Shemis Anin Roy Lino Glamanda Efshar, Shaloyochal Basar Velishta Yai Lifnei Tanis, Vigan Lacher Tanis. That all things being equal, maybe it's better if you are engaging in such a Tanis where it's appropriate to refrain from Basar V'yayin, like the Tanis are referring here as Kapara for an Ister Nida. So then it would be appropriate, says the Torah Sashlam, according for the Marashal, that maybe you should refrain. Both nights, both the night before and the night after. Rav Schechter has in his piece on the Moedim in Bikvei Etzon, Simen Tesvav, has a number of other Mar Makomos to support this idea that the Tanis was Mokom Korban, and it makes sense that Laila Holech Achar Hayom. And then the Tarsa Shlamim is Mitzayin, that this is relevant to another Orachayim Halacha. So he refers to Simon Tafkuf Nun Ches as far as the Isser Basar, the Mosei Tisha B'Av. So that's another example where you have the Ramah quotes that even though the din is in general, the Nihuge Avelus of the 9 days, or Shavu Shechabo Kari Til Chatzos, of the day after Tisha B'Av of Yudav. So the Isser Basar V'Ayin extends that far. So the Rama says that Chumrah of extending the Isser Basar V'Ayin until Motzei Tisha B'Av, that goes till Chatzos Hayom. And then he says, if Chal Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos V'Nidchal Yom Rishon, Mutar L'Achal Basar V'Lishtas Yayin Yom Sheni, Aval B'Layla Aser B'Nei Avei L'Shal Yom, quoting for the Maril. So even though if Tisha B'Av is already a Nidcha, all the other Nihugi Avelus don't extend to Motzei Tisha B'Av, but the Isser Basar V'Yayin still applies to Motzei Tisha B'Av because of the Avelus Shal Yom. So that's this idea that when it comes to a Tanis, there's some residual effect of the Tanis on Motzei the Tanis, at least in the context of the Isser Basar V'Yayin. And this also may be relevant in Taf Kuf Samach Aleph. There the din is that if a person sees Yerushalayim b'churbana, Har Bayis b'churbana, or Yehuda b'churbanan, that requires Kriya. The Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Sif Katan Gimel, Sif Katan Dalid, according back to the Kafter Perach, Yesha Kosvusha Mistabra, Shayom Sheroa Adam Tchila Yushalayim Bechorbana, Sheyasar Osayom Kula Bebasar V'Yayim. That the day that a person sees Yushalayim Bechorbana, by extension, Harbais Bechorbana, so that triggers an Isser Basar V'Yayim. So there also is possible, based on the Sarah Sashlamim, that Isser Basar V'Yayim would extend to the night afterwards as well. Okay. Take a look now at Simon Kuf Tzadi, the very last Sif. So when we were learning Simon Kuf Tzadi at the beginning of the year, our focus was on Ksamim, so we didn't really address the last Sif in that Simon, which is a Vestos Halacha. But take a look now at the last Sif in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Sif Nundalit. Ein b'ksamim mishom veses. That a kethem doesn't create a veses. Ketzad. Matza kethem b'rosh chodesh. Afilu shalish ba'amim. Lo kavaso. Lo akraso. So let's say a woman sees a kethem on a given day. Even if she sees a kethem on that same day of the month for three consecutive months, that doesn't create a vest kavua, and it's not oker a previous vest. So ksamim don't create vestos. Presumably not linyan prisha, not linyan bedika. Chutz mikisme eda badukla, shehein metamim b'kol shehein, with the exception of kisamim on an aid. If a woman does a bedika and finds something on the bedika cloth, which is metame, that makes her into a nida. So that re'iya isn't only relevant for hilchos nida, but it's relevant for vestos as well. So this is based on a raivid. The raivid writes in the end of Simon Gimel of Shar Haksamim. The Ravi writes as follows. Haroa kesem tame she'ena yichola litlos tzvicha hefsek tara v'teisha v'lav shivin akiyam tzvicha bedika kasher nifta v'shara tzvicha bedika. So if a woman sees a problematic kesem and there's no taliya, you don't have kulos ksamim, so that makes her tamea, asur labayla, she has to go through the whole tara process that we know. V'nirali afa pi sheikh marnu ala kesem v'yasinu aso kiri'iyah le'inyan shivin akiyam u'l'chaldavar afa pi kein lo nachmir olav lachush liyom mitziyat hakesem k'mo shi'chosheshes liyom ariyah. So even though If a woman sees a problematic kesem where there's no tliya and doesn't have kulas ksamim, it makes her a nida. But it doesn't mean that you now treat the day of the Riyas HaKesem as a Yom Avest. V'od ani omer, she'en oksamim kovim vest, v'la okrim vest, chutz mikisme ye'ed abadukla, she'en mitamim v'kol she'en, v'rehen kiri'ios l'chol dover. So the Ravid says, if you saw a kesem on an ein, meaning on a bedika, so since that kesem, that kesem is metami b'kalshu, that will make a woman anida, that's not a, that we treat that as a re'ia, so that's treated as a re'ia for everything, and even for establishing vestas. So you have this in the Ramban as well, in the Halachos, Perek Dalid, Os Mem Zayin. Haroa kesem tzricha bedika lahapsik betara umona shivanakiyam chutzme osayom kimi shara sadam. Aim b'ksam yishom v'eses keitha and matza kesem b'rosh kodesh afil l'shalash b'amim l'kava v'eses l'akraso chutzme kisme eid abadak l'ashay mitam m'kol shehen v'rein kirisa chodavis. That's basically the lashon that we saw in the Ravid. The Ramban says that as well, that generally speaking, a kesem doesn't create a vest unless it's a kesem on a bedika, which has the full status of a re'ia, and that is going to concern us for vestos as well. Now, the Taz over here in Sif Katan Mem Aleph, the end of Kupsadi, he brings the following raya for the Ravid. He says, "Who does the Ravid? Umashma didafka be'ed habaduk." Darmino la begemara tmeya mishum nida. As the Gemara in Yedalit indicates that if you find kesem on an aid bedika, that makes a woman to a nida. That's Darmino dava kiriyasa l'chol davar. So if we're saying it makes it to a nida, so that's a full fledged ria. So that should be relevant for vestos as well. So, yeah, Usher. You're muted. You can't unmute yourself?
All right, no, my screen was just in such a way. Okay. So, nowadays when women don't have hargashos, don't we pretty much always, with a bedika, have it, a suffix, she's a suffix nida d'oraisa, because we're just concerned that maybe she had a hargasha when she did the bedika?
Well, that's correct. We treat every bedika as a re'ia. That's true. That's not just nowadays. That's really what the Ravid is saying, that we treat any bedika as a re'ia, and she's asula bali requires a process of tara. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the Ravid is telling us that it does mean, but you wouldn't necessarily have assumed that that's relevant for vestos also. You could distinguish that that's a chumrah as far as the iser nid is concerned, but you might need a higher threshold to establish vestos.
It sounds like he's saying that the reason that an eid she'eino badok is we don't say that can establish a vestos is because that's only misafik.
That's still true. And again, now if you have a legitimate real eid she'eino badok, so that's relevant nowadays also, that if you have an H and a Badak and there's a way of being Tola, whatever shows up as having been there beforehand, so that's not going to be Matama either.
So that's what he's talking about, okay.
Right. But the point, Le'inyanenu, is an Eid Bedika. So he says an Eid Bedika, if you have anything, even a Kol Shehu, that's going to trigger a Veses Nafkamina. Okay. One second. I realized I forgot one of the svarim I need. So just give me. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. So the Bavi Yosholchan notes over here So he says, Shamanu Mikama Bali Hara, Sheino Gimkain, that even though the way the Mechaber presents it pretty unequivocally from the Ravid is that if you have a Ri'iya Anabedika, you have anything, even a kosher Anabedika, not only is that going to render the woman Tmeya Sur Labaila, but it's relevant for Vestos. Father Shulchan writes that he heard, or we heard from various Balei Ra, that's not the Minhag. The Eina Machnisa Babadika Hibasal Cheshmin of Vestos Klal. Why? The Kanei Resha Daitam She'ena Eda Baduk Kiri'iya Lenin Vestos Al Beves Kavua Below Beves She'ena Kavua. So they understand that this din is only relevant if you create a Ves Kavua through these Bedikas, but not for Ves She'ena Kavua. Where does that come from? So he quotes in the Be'urim from the Levush. Levush writes, Eim b'ksam yishom v'eses, chus mikif me'eira badakla, shehim mekan echas bo gufa, v'heim metamim b'kol shehu, k'mo b'ri'yas atzma, v'have lei k'ri'ya l'chol dava. Okay, so that's what we have in Shulchan Aruch. Sharei. Anu roin shebiyom ze yatz adam migufa gimel pa'amim v'zehu vesta. So Levush quotes this then, but he just presents it as only relevant where it happened three times. Why should that be? There's no indication of that on the Ravid. So the Baal Shulchan says, maybe based on the following. The Chasam Sofer in Shuva Simen Kuf Samiches writes that normally speaking, the normal biology is that when a woman begins her Re'iyah, she begins her period, there is a significant flow of blood. So a vest is coming to tell us when to expect the Aruch Mizman Abba, when to expect a Re'iyah, when to expect a woman to have her period. So if all she sees is a speck on a bedika cloth, that shouldn't be indicative of an impending re'iya, because that's not how a re'iya normally presents itself. But if it happened three times, so then maybe that's indicative that creates a vest for this woman, and that's becomes her norm. So even though that's not the indication of the Rav, that's not the indication it has quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Baal Shulchan writes, and Rabbi Forst writes, that the minhag is, the way they present it, the minhag is not to be choshesh for this din in Shulchan Aruch, short of a vest kavul. In the Piskei Das, Rabbi Morgenstern quotes what we'll call a middle or more compromised position, in the name of Rav Yashiv. This is in Perek Lamed Beis, Se'if Yud Gimel. He quotes from Rav Yashiv that everything depends on when the woman sees this problematic bedika. So if she did a bedika for whatever reason, Shiloba Onus Vesta. She did a Bedika mid-cycle for whatever reason. And there's no Hargasha. She happens to see something on the Bedika clock. So it's true that that's going to be Metame her. She now has to go through the Tara process from scratch. But that's not considered to be a Re'iya as far as Vestos is concerned. And he quotes from the Beis Meir, the Rabbi Morgenstern quotes in the Beis Meir, that if you have a limited re'iya, so you can't argue chazaka that dam is baba hargasha. Normally speaking, where you're anytime there's a re'iya that's metame, so we're concerned that argasha v'levadaita, there's some hargasha. But if it's such a small amount, then you don't really have to be concerned. It's true that it's going to be metame her, but that's not enough to establish a vest. So if it's shalom bishas vesta, and there's no accompanying hargasha, it's random unexplained ri'ya, or random unexplained bit of blood on the bedika cloth. So it's going to be metame her, but that doesn't necessarily establish a vest. However, if the ri'ya on the bedika is bonus a vest, so then even if it's a kol shehu, that's considered to create a vest, because that's at the time that we expect to see a ri'ya. So even if the full cycle is not going to start till tomorrow, let's say, but bottom line, it's at the time that you expect to see a ri'ya, and that's going to be relevant for vestas as well. So that's Rav Yosha's position. So not as extreme as the Bada Yoshochan, but still moderately limiting of what appears to be at face value in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the other related question that's discussed by Poskim is we'll read it the way the Shevet Halevi frames the question. Shevet Halevi Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Yud Ches Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Yud Ches. Okay. Beisha hamotzeis ksamim al begadim upaamim pachos mikashir v'tiarosam ulifamim bikashir v'timosam. So a woman has ksamim on a beged, not a bedika. She has ksamim on a beged, and sometimes she may see ksamim. We'll call it staining that has kulas ksamim. And sometimes she may have ksamim that don't have kulas ksamim that agree with Tamir. The achrei beis gimel yamim mekabelas vesta v'shofas dam bargasha. And then 2-3 days later, she has her regular period. V'she'ela me'emasai chashvina yam vest. So how do you calculate the yam vest? She had some staining a day or two before the full-fledged flow. And it's clear in context that staining was a precursor to the flow. But does that staining establish a vest? Hello, b'shulchan aruch self simen kuf tzadi that we just read, kai milan, de'ei b'ksav b'shem vest. So if you read shulchan aruch at face value, a regular kesef and a beged cannot create a vest. No qualification. Amnam, ulai zedafka b'shalora sa'achar kach karagil. But maybe that's all you're talking about, where that staining is not a precursor for regular ria. Aval raza achar kach b'shefa v'hargasha. But if she sees a full flow right afterwards, yesh lomer shabri yesh b'ksav b'shem vest miyam riyasam. Maybe that does create a vest. L'mesubak od yosir b'chi agavna nitmel mafreya gam ksam in pachas mikashir kem neneskala shayu tchilas riyas damnida. And maybe go even further and say maybe that Lemafreya, we should determine that Kethem, which apparently would have had Kulach Ksamim in a vacuum, but now we see in the context that it's a precursor to regular Ria, so maybe that should be considered Damnidus also. The Nafkamina, oh, Shabbatchi Agam, the Tzarech Lifra, Shemana Besafek, came into Olo, the Ria, Damnidus, Yavav, Yamachakach, O Dilma, Kisheni? No, sorry. Elu Divrei Kvodo. Right. So do we say that we'll attribute, if we give more credence to the original Ksamim, the original staining, so then there would be a requirement of Prisha at that earlier point. So Rav Osner, in his analysis, points out that there's a Gemara in Nida on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Amud Beis. The Gemara says about 8 lines down, Tana Rabbanan, Rasa Kesem V'Acherkach Rasa Dam. So if a woman sees a Kesem, and then Rashi says, Toch Me'es La'es, within the next 24 hours, she sees regular Dam. Tola Kisma V'Riyasa Me'es La'es Divrei Rebbe. She can be Tola the Kesem on the Re'iyah. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Tola kisma b'riyasa. V'arminan, hai kethem midam nidus zahu, utahora milatame. Ad shas akibus. Ela mishamasasa ulaba. So we say that this kethem that preceded the ri'iya was a kethem of dam nidus. And she's going to be Tmeya from that point and on. So according to Rashi's understanding of Tola Kisma Buryasa, it sounds like if you have a Kethem that precedes a Re'iya by less than 24 hours, then the source of that Kethem is presumed to be the same source as the Re'iya. So that could be relevant to our question here as well, that even though in general Ksamim don't create Vestas, but if you have a Kethem that's clearly a precursor to a Re'iya, maybe it would. Usher.
Would that also be true if the Kethem was not Metame?
Yeah, because we're talking about a Kethem that in a vacuum would not be Metame, and now it's followed by Dam Nidus, which clearly is. So in context, we can now attribute that kesem or view that kesem as part of the same continuum as a re'iya, and it'll be tame from that point. But then the Rav Osner goes on to say that that is true in Rashi. But number one, it's a machlokas tanaim here. That's within Rebbe. Rav Shimon Elazar argues on Rebbe, so he thinks according to most Rishonim, he passes like Rav Shimon Elazar. And even within Shitas Rebbe, there may be other ways of understanding Shitas Rebbe. So he thinks that in principle, what Rashi says within Shitas Rebbe is not necessarily lahalacha, and therefore we stand by the original din that any kesem, even in a broader context, doesn't create a veses. So his conclusion is that if there's more of a 24-hour break between the kesem and the re'iya, then there's nothing to talk about. Then even according to this reading of Rashi within Shitas Rebbe, it's past Me'es La'es. There's no connection between the Kesem and the Re'iyah. And even if it's within Me'es La'es, according to most Rishonim, it would still be considered a Kesem. We wouldn't be Choshesh for a Veses, Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumra, meaning not to be Oker, a previous Vest, not to create a new vest. So he says that if you want to be machmir to treat this kesem within 24 hours of a re'iyah as a re'iyah l'inyan vestos, based on the Shitas Rashi, there's a justification in being choshesh, but me'ikar adin, he doesn't think it's necessary. And that's what Rav Avadia writes as well in the Taras Habayis, the end of the first volume, page Tafayin. That's the Rabbi Forst quotes as being the Psaka Mekubal, not to be concerned about vestas created by Ksamim, even if the Kesem is seen in close proximity to a Re'iyah. And that's the conclusion of the Badi Shulchan as well in Sif Katan Taf Kuf Dalit. However, Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Avil Yashiv that he doesn't think that's correct. That when did we say that Ksamim don't create vestos? So that was more relevant b'mehem in previous generations, where the norm was to have a re'iyah that was associated with hargasha. The norm was to see dam b'hargasha. But nowadays, if let's say you have a woman who never, so in such a case, b'mekedem, if a woman would have a kesem, and that kesem was not accompanied by a hargasha, that wouldn't be enough to create a vest, because the real re'iyah that she sees, a full-fledged re'iyah, the flow, would be accompanied by a hargasha. But nowadays, if you have a woman that never has a hargasha, so the kesem that she sees isn't bargasha, but the re'iyah also isn't with an attributable hargasha. Or whatever pseudo hargasha the woman experiences during a regular re'iyah, during a regular flow, she has that same pseudo hargasha, that same sensation when it comes to this kesem. So as long as there's no clear distinction between the experience of the woman who sees a kesem and her experience when she has a re'iyah, then you should be choshesh for a kesem if that kesem is a precursor to a re'iyah. So Yashiv says that bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, that would be enough to create a new vest. That would be enough to be oker a previous vest. And that idea is reflected, not exactly in the same formulation, but there's something similar in Rav Moshe, Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Aleph. So Moshe there writes, Nashim Shadark and Lira Samim called them Vestan, Matai Iker Havest, Osa Nashim Shadark and Lira Samim Blargash, Shakami Yamin called them Vesta. So a woman has staining below her gasha in advance of her vest. So the default is that the Iker vest is when she has a regular Iyah. However, if she establishes this pattern of staining for three times, or if she never has her gasha anyway, so then the Iker vest is calculated based on the beginning of the staining. That's her normal re'iyah, that first she stains, and then you have the flow. So if a woman normally sees dam b'hargasha, and then she asks samim as a precursor without hargasha, that doesn't create a vest. But if a woman either has that staining on three occasions to create a kfias, or if a woman never has a real argasha for a re'iyah anyway, So then the Ikar Ves, says Rav Moshe, should be the time of the Ksamim and not the time of the flow. Now, so that's along the lines of what Rabbi Morgenstern quoted from Rav Yashiv, that where a woman is not going to have normal hargoshos, then we're more concerned about the Ksamim creating creating vestos. There is a third position in Poskim, which Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Nissen Karelitz, but this is Rabbi Willig's Niti as well, that you should be machmir in both directions. That if you have Ksamim ahead of time, as a precursor, so that could create a vest l'chumra, but it wouldn't necessarily be oker a vest l'kula. So you perhaps would be machmir in both directions to treat both the day of the actual flow and the day of the kesem as vestos. Okay, so those are the three possibilities among the contemporary poskim. Either, in absolute terms, we don't treat ksamim that are a precursor to re'iyah as creating vestos at all. That's Rav Ozner, that's Rav Avadya, Rabbi Forrest, Padre Shulchan. Or it may depend on the pattern of the woman, that if there's no more of a hargasha attributed to the kesem than to the re'iyah, then the kesem would be the ikar ves, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, that's Rav Yashiv, and sounds like Rav Moshe. Or the third possibility, that maybe you'd be machmir in both directions. Okay. With that, let's begin Simon Kuf Peites and the din of Ona Beinonis. Okay, so the Mechaber writes, Kol Isha She'ein La Ves Kavua Choshashes Liyom Lam Milriyasa Shehi Ona Beinonis Ustam Nashim. That if a woman does not have a Ves Kavua, she holds day 30 as an Ona Beinonis, as the equivalent of a Ves Kavua. V'miyesh La Ves Kavua L'zman Yadua Mikaf L'kaf V'mikafe L'kafe Choshashes L'zman Yadua. But if she has a ves kavua, then ona beinonis is not of concern. Okay, so where does this calculation of ona beinonis becoming a de facto ves kavua come from? The Gemara, the Mishnah, Tesvav Amin Aleph, Kol Hanashim Becheskes Tara Lebaleihen, Haba Min Haderech Nishein Lahem Becheskes Tara. So all women are considered to be becheskes tara to their husbands, even without a bedika. And if someone comes from a trip and he didn't know otherwise, he didn't have reason to believe otherwise, then his wife is becheskes tara as well. The Gemara asks, "Lamalei lemisni haban min haderech?" So what's significant about haban min haderech? Sakadai tachamina. So I might have thought that a woman is only considered to be becheskes tara lebaleihen where he's in town, he's around. There, a woman's going to be conscious of the fact that her husband's in town, and she will want to remain tahora lebaila, and she will do bedikos. I will hecha the less of b'masa, the lo rami anafsha lo. But maybe where he's not around, so it's not in her consciousness to remain tahora lebaila, she won't be as careful to establish or to retain her Tara status. Kamash Bala, note that even if the husband left town, she still is Becheskas Tara. Okay. Amrei Shlakish Mishiva Vihuda Nisiya Behusha Ba Umatza Besoch Yemei Onasa. When is this true? That by Haba Min Haderech Nishem Becheskas Tara, that's only if he found her bimei onasa. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela she'ein la vest, aval yesh la vest asu l'shamish. So this is only true for a woman that does not have a vest. But if she has a vest, then she be asu to her husband. It says klapi laya, adarab, ifkum stabra. Ein la vest, ein machazai, yesh la vest, vest kaviyala. And Rabbi Ruchana Amar, Afilu Giyashas Vesta Nami Mutares, Kasavra Vestos Dirabana. Fine. So at the first stage of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Behushaba Masab Yimei Onasa, that when is the woman Mutares Labaila, when is she? The Cheskas Tara, that's if he comes and finds her b'mei onasa, says Rashi. V'soch y'mei onasa, lamid yom l'ri'iya. V'soch y'mei onasa means within 30 days of her last ri'iya. Avala achar lamid by bedika. However, after 30 days, she requires a bedika. Ho'el v'stam nashim chazyan l'sof ona, since stam nashim see dam at the end of the ona, which we're defining as 30 days, then subsequent to 30 days is a requirement of a bedika. Okay, so the Rashi is telling us here that Yemei Onas is Lamed Yom, and from the Hemshech L'Gemara, this is relevant to a woman that doesn't have a Ves Kavua otherwise. And then L'Acher Lamed, after this ona Beinonis, you need a bedika. So Rashi here only tells us about Bedika. There's no indication of a Chiyav Prisha. That Ona Beinonis, if an Ona Beinonis passes, that's going to trigger a Chiyav Bedika, but no reference to triggering a Chiyav Prisha. And that's what the Alter Rebbe points out in his Kuntres Achron at the beginning of our Simon, the beginning of Simon Reish Peites. Rabbi Karp on page Reish Nun Gimel points out that this is more mefurish in Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, where the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia Korashi is follows. Perish Rashi, Aval Matza La'achar Yemei Onasa Tzricha Bedika, that if the husband comes home and finds his wife after Yemei Onasa, she requires a Bedika. The chumra gedola hizu, sharei le'eh lo hitzvecha tamid rak tivia. Because that was the Gemara we saw earlier, that he has to ask her if he comes home. He has to ask her whether she's tahora. That's the din in the beginning of Kufpehe we discussed last time. By mehecha teisi, that you need to do bedika also. Yesh lahachmer kedivrei Rashi, shetzvicha livdokim shoa yosim ilam yom. So you should be machmir to require a bedika if the owner beinonis passes. So again, only an indication of a chiyuv bedika, no indication of a chiyuv prisha. Okay, and the Ramban here on Desvav Dira Maskel Vahu points out that this shear of 30 days as the default ona is mefurish in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi perik beis halacha dalid. Kama ona nostin la. Shemen lakish amar. Nostin la ona beinonis shloshim yom. So there, the Yerushalmi beferish refers to this as an ona beinonis. Excuse me. And an ona beinonis is 30 days. Okay. However, the Rif and the Rambam and the Ravid do not have any din of Ona Beinonis whatsoever. Rashi invokes Lamed Yom in the context of this din, the Mishnah Tesvav, the husband who comes home and finds his wife Becheskas Tara. Ramban references a Yerushalmi that has the Lashon of Onan Beinus being Shloshim Yom, but the Rif, the Rambam, the Raiva, La Locha, make no mention of an Onan Beinus. If that's the case, how do they explain our Gemara? B'soch Yimei Onasa, right? So Rashi told us B'soch Yimei Onasa means 30 days. So what's B'soch Yimei Onasa according to those Rishonim that don't have Onan Beinus in their lexicon? It says the Ramban over here. The near Shehem Zal Mefarshim, Toch Yimei Onasa, Hainu Onas Vesta, La'afuke Yom Ona Atzmo Dilo. Let me pull up on the screen, sorry. Yeah, so I bolded it. Veneer Shehem Zal Mefarshim Tochim Eonasa Hainu Onas Vesta La Fuke Yom Ona Atzmo Dula. What does that mean? Shelo Talal Daitcha Shebeba Mina Derech Lo Chashashu Afl Onas Havest O Sheyitlu Lahake Lomar Shemak Raso. So maybe you would have thought that if a woman has an Onas Havest that once the husband leaves town and comes back, you don't have to be choshish for that onus of vest. Or maybe you can be told that the onus of vest was nakar. Kamash mela deboi mechshav delo beonus vest kaima inna. That you might have thought that we're not concerned about previous onus anymore because maybe they were nakar. Or maybe it would be makel not to require a din of prisha samach leves by bamin aderech, just like by yosei laderech. Kamash v'la not, but it doesn't tell us anything about an ona beinonis per se. So again, Rashi and the Rabban quote from the Yerushalmi mention ona beinonis, but only in the context of bedika, not in the context of prisha. The Rif, the Ram, and the Raivit have no mention of Onan Beinus whatsoever. And the Rashba is the Rishon that introduces Onan Beinus as being relevant not only for Bedika, but for Prisha Samach Levest as well. So Rashba, Taurus Abayis, Tesvav, and Aleph requires Prisha Samach Levest for an Onan Beinus, and that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. That's what we assume Lahalacha. Yeah, Asher.
What does it mean to have a chiyuv v'dika without prisha? Does it mean that they are mutter to each other indefinitely? It's just that at some point she should l'chakila do v'dika?
Maybe v'dika could even be likuva, but it means that in order to have tashmish, you have to do v'dika, but once you did a v'dika on the yom avest, then you could have tashmish on that day.
So even if like the very beginning of yom avest, it's as soon as she gets a good
right.
Bedika, then
you do bedika, and then you've done your part. Meaning, if you don't require prisha, so then ona beinonis is a less severe vest than other vestas. Perhaps because it's not based on any individual history. It's based on outside norms, but it's not established by any history of this woman per se. Okay, so there is a significant machlokas. How do you calculate the day of the Ona Beinonis? But I think we'll stop here for today and pick up with that next time. Okay.
Okay.
Monday is Memorial Day, which